it's Chet Cheska Sabbat, and get our feet wet a little bit. Okay, so we're going to start from the Sugya Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. The beginning of Cheskas Habatim, of course, sets the tone for the Nyanim of Cheskas Gimushanim, which, for our purposes, what we need to know is simple. When we know by Cheskas Metaltalin, if a person is holding onto something and they claim that they bought it from someone who we know through Edim was the original owner, we had a little bit about this in Hashutfin, the person has the right to claim that I bought it. And the fact that he's holding it is evidence of that. That's called cheskas metaltlin. You would normally steal something from someone else. So the fact that you have it now can be indication and evidence that it's in, that's yours lawfully, legally, and that your taina is correct. That's called cheskas metaltlin. The exception, of course, being from a sumahasha lehaskir, where we could always attribute the fact that it's by you to the fact that it was lent. And rent or rented, and therefore your tfisa, you're holding on to it, is not mochachas, doesn't prove that in fact you got it by virtue of buying it, which is what you say, and that would therefore not give you the schus to be zochet, and Marakama would win. This is all by metaltlin. When it comes to karka, it's a different story. Karka, where it's, there's a claim that's made against somebody who's sitting on a piece of land, and the person comes with evidence that he is the original owner, he's the Marakama, and you just say, you bought it. So just because you're on the land and you say you bought it, you're not going to win. It's not like metaltlin. To the contrary, we say that karka becheskas ba'oleha omedes. Karka is viewed as being becheskas de marakama. He's viewed as the presumed owner. It's becheskaso, unlike metaltlin. But there's a special din that the Gemara discusses in earlier part of Cheskas Habatim. That's the first Mishnah, and the Gemara discusses the Makoros for it. Again, we're not going to have to get into all of that for purposes of the sugya that we're learning now and the sugyas that follow, but this is the earlier part of Cheskas Habatim. The inyan called Cheskas Gimushan. If I claim that I bought it, even though I don't have the shtar, now if I have a shtar that substantiates my claim, then all bets are off. Obviously, I win because I have a shtar. But if I don't have a shtar, then I need Cheskas Gimushanim. And that substitutes the shtar, and people don't hold the shtars more than them. Therefore, you can win with the chazaka gimushanim, which therefore allows you to claim that you have purchased the land. You have to have a taina. That's the mission that Mem Aleph. We discussed this. We discussed asik ahurdi. Chol chazaka she'enem a taina in the chazaka. If there's no chazaka with a taina, just the fact that you're there and no one told me anything, that would not work for you. Okay. Our situation, as we're going to see in the Rishonim, the Rashbam, and all, is not dafka case of chazak. So lemaisa, you would have to have a shtar in order to win with your taina that you bought it from the marakama. But this person, in fact, did have a shtar, but the shtar is, the shtar that he produced might have been good enough had he not admitted that it's not a good shtar. And let's see how the story plays out. We have very interesting machokas, as we'll see in the sugya. The inyan that's obviously very much the anchor of the sugya, and we saw a little bit about this in Yanim and the sugyas that we read in Ashutfin. We can have more about this. Migul. Migul is a very important principle in Dini Maminis. It can be many different ways to learn pshat in the sugya here, Rabba and Rav Yosef and the nature of the machokes. And every pshat is going to have another aspect that will relate to these inyanim of Migul and the kolim of Migul, which is itself a whole broad inyan. Chosh Mishpat Pei Beis at the end, you have kolim Migul. Migul Lahosi, for example, is a major cloud among the main sugya. So Migul Lahosi is going to be our sugya. So we'll see that. We'll see other pshatim. And every pshat has to be looked at carefully and thought about exactly what is the yisod behind this particular svara. And again, what is the machokes of Rav Yosef, as we'll see in the sugya. So let's begin the story, starting this pasha, getting our feet wet. Says the Gemara, Lam Beis Amid Aleph in the bottom. Ahud Amar L'chavri. My boys Bahayar. A lot of the stories in Cheskas Habatim start this way. Typical story. Someone is a Marakama. Presumably we know he's a Marakama. And he sees someone else on a piece of land and he challenges him and says, what are you doing sweating on my land? It's my land. So the person responds, Amale Minach Zavinta, which is a classic response to defend his claim that he's on the land legitimately. Now it doesn't say in the Gemara about a Chazaka. We've seen the Rashbam. He did not have a Chazaka. But what does he have? A Hashtar. I bought it from you. Here, shtar is here. Now, it doesn't say anything about whether shtar was mekuyim. We had a little discussion in the sugya. We saw it right before the Mishnah Dav Zayin about shtar she'ena mekuyim, shtar mekuyim. But we'll see. It's understood by the Rashbam and other Rishonim that it's as good as being mekuyim. It's understood that the kiyum could happen very easily. And he has a shtar that would basically be enough to let him keep the land. Bahashtara, perfect shtar. But the Marakama, the one who's Toveya here, responds to that defense, and he says, Amar le shtar zayfahu. It's a forged shtar. Now, he'll see soon in the Rashbam what exactly that means. Shtar zayfa literally means it's forged, but there's different variations of what that could mean. Shtar zayfa. So basically, the shtar is not going to be enough because it's not real. It's not. There was no real sale. It only was written, ki'ilu there was a sale, but there's something deficient in the shtar. So this is what the Marakama says, the Ma'ara we call him, the one who's coming to tine against the one who's machzik on the land. So this is so far what's going on. Shtar looks perfectly fine to us. They're Eidim Reitim Mekayimit. The Ma'arer, the Marakama says, the shtar zayf. Meanwhile, but out there in Beis Din, the taina that he registered for the courts was hashtar, minachza v'liba hashtar. That is my claim. Gachin means he bent down. Lachish le'la rabba, he whispers to rabba, as if to say this is private. In. Shtar zayf. Okay, it's true what that person said. Okay, shtar zayf, again, whatever zayf means. Niu, shtar mal yahavali. I had a perfect shtar, which was not zayfa, which was exactly, perfectly constructed, that detested to the purchase. But the irkas, I lost the amina. Intket hai biyadai kodim. I thought to myself, at least let me take this shtar, which is really false, but I know that I'm right, and I know I have a shtar, but it got lost. So I have this shtar to be there to serve in its place. This is what he told Rabbi Private. And this is now going to be a question, what do we do with this situation? L'maisa, having him tell us that the shtar zayfa is hodas baldin, that obviously would mean that he'll lose. Based on his hodas baldin, he has no leg to stand up. As we'll soon see, there's no chazaka, hagim ushanim, and there's no legitimate shtar because he admitted it's not a good shtar. But he does ultimately let us in on the fact that he had a good shtar. And we all know, we're assuming that this shtar that he didn't have to admit to would have won for him. So what he has is amigo. We have a Marakama, that's presumably the owner of the karka, as far as we can say, unless we can find a way to establish him as a proper muhsik. What does he have that's going to establish him as a muhsik? A migul. That he didn't have to say it's a shtara zayfa. He could have stuck with the hashtara. But l'maisa, he did. He did admit. So these are the variables here. So we have Rabba and Rav Yosef, and we have to look at each one for himself. What is the point of the machokas? Amar Rabba, ma lo l'shaker. Having heard all of this from the person, he says he has a migul. That's the way to refer to migul, ma lo l'shaker. Iboy Amar, he could have said, shtara Malya, who he could have said, it is a shtar Malya. He could have said, this is a perfectly fine shtar. Therefore, because of that migu, we let him win with the shtar that he himself admitted was a shtar zayfa because he didn't have to say what the shtar zayfa. So the migu allows him to keep the land. This is Rabba. Amale Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responds to Rabba. Always the two of them argue with each other. Yosef says, Amai kasamches. Ahai shtar, what are you leaning on? What are you supporting yourself on? What are you using? What are you relying on? Ahai shtar, this shtar. Ahai shtar chas b'yam, the shtar is worthless because he's molded. And obviously, the most obvious question that jumps up at us from the page is, what does Rav Yosef mean? But Rabbi pointed out, I understand that. He admitted it's not a good shtar, it's worthless. But he has a malishaket. What's Rav Yosef saying? How do Rav Yosef's words relate to the logic that Rabbi presented of Mal Shaker? Mal Shaker is he could have said the Shtar Malya. So Rav Yosef, Maika Samchas Ahashtar, what does he mean? There's a Migul. And what does he mean? Maika Samchas Ahashtar. Who says you're relying on this Shtar? Moreover, you're relying on what? On the Taina What is the tanya that essentially you want to rely on? That he had another star is a migu. He could have said it's a good star. So what does he mean? Right? Because some of the star. What are words of Yosef say? We're going to have a similar story. It's going to play out not by Karka, but by Susie. We'll get to that separately, and then we have the Achra coming in the Gemara when the Loch is like one and when the Loch is like the other. But we have to go slowly. Let's start with the words of the Rashbam, piece by piece. Okay, says the Rashbam. Amale Shtara Zayfu. This is what the Ma'ara says. Hashtar Mizuyef. And Rashbam adds, the Gam Shnei Chazaka Lohech Zakta. This is how we know the Rashbam already tells us we're talking without a Chazaka. The diuk of the Rashbam would be if there was a Chazaka, then the case closed. Why? What? That's the point. If there'd be a Chazaka, then he would win. Why would he win? Because he has a chazaka, gimushanin. But now what does a chazaka always need? He needs a taina. So what would he win with? The taina that I bought it from you. The fact that there's a shtar that he also provided to show us, which the other one says is a shtar zaifa, and he admitted, just cut that out. Imagine it didn't happen. It doesn't matter. He didn't have to show any shtar. The fact that there's a shtar that he admits is a zaifa, it's not going to spoil his chazaka shiishim a taina. The taina remains what it was, minach zavinte. If you say minach zavinte, and he has shnei chazaka, eidim that prove that he was there 3 years, then there's nothing more need to be done. You just have to show a shtar. So the only thing is you say, yeah, but the fact is he did show a shtar. And he admitted the shtar was aifa. So maybe that spoils everything. The answer is, Rashbam is clearly saying it's not true. It doesn't spoil everything. So just remove that piece from the picture. It's not going to be any worse than it would be if he didn't show us the shtar. So the answer is, we're talking without a chazaka. So that everything that you have to give, whatever strength you want to give him here to keep the land, is going to have to rest not on the chazaka with the taina that I bought it from you. It's going to have to rest on the evidence that he has to show that he bought it. What is his evidence? The shtar that he shows us that says that he bought it. But then again, he's admitted that it's a shtar zaifa. But then again, he didn't have to admit. And he has a taina that had another shtar. So then you want to give him the land, and keep the land because of the migu. That's what Rabbi is going to say. So that's the taina of this shtar zaifu. And as far as the chazaka, that maybe that's enough without any shtar. It's not going to be worse to have a shtar zaifa that you admitted to than if he had no shtar, because he says he bought it. He doesn't have to have a shtar with that. He just has to have a taina. You have no chazaka. Shnei chazaka lo chazaka. Gachin, who's gachin? Who bent down? Bal hashtar. Lachish l'rabba benachas. To know how important this detail of the story is. The fact that he bent and said it to him, Kwaila Shalo Yishma Ma'ara. The Ma'ara is the Marakama, with the ones coming to him with the Taina, lodging the Taina. What does he say? In. Shtar Zaifu. Now, here we get to a whole important Indian right now that begins to open up the Sugya in its own way. Shtar Zaifu. What does Shtar Zaifu mean? Literally, forged. Says the Rashbam, B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, Pirish Rach, Lav Shtar Zaifu Mamish. Doesn't mean literally a forged document. Ela kimo shtar zayfa. It means it's equivalent, tantamount to shtar zayfa, which means what? Shelo nichtav amachira zu. The shtar was not written for this sale. Meaning it was written that potentially could be used for a sale, but not that there was actually a sale. Umayni, what does that mean? Shtar amana, a shtar amana, dehu batim. Which is really not valid. Now, what is shtar amana? So there's a Rashi in Ksuvis that teaches exactly what shtar amana is. Shtar amana can relate to mechira like here or halva. The point of shtar amana is that it wasn't actually, the transaction didn't actually happen, but it was written in anticipation of a transaction with a sense of trust that no one's going to use it against the other if the transaction didn't actually occur. So Lush and Rashi here in Ksuvis Daf Yud Tes. The Gemara has a case. Where someone makes a claim that a shtar is a shtar amana. The Gemara says like this: Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Omer shtar amana who's there ain't no neman. So the Gemara tries to figure out who are we talking about? Who sends the shtar amana? The kamar man, ilem the kamar lov epshita, kol kmine. How can the lov suddenly make such a claim that with the shtar amana the havan never took place? El the kamar malvet havala bracha. So what, good, he's admitting that it wasn't really halva. Ella de kami eden. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara tries to work out what the case is. Who's talking? Maisa, Rashi explains, Shtaramana, lo lava klum. The Reuven never borrowed the money. Ella kasvo, he had the shtar written that says Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Umesaro lemalva, so he gave it to Malva to Shimon. Shem yitztarech luvo, so we have it ready handy. That if I'll need to borrow money, I might need to borrow money from you, Shimon. Yuve ve mino, now the Lashon Amana. Why Lashon Amana? What's Amana? Me Lashon trust. Hemino shelo yitveeno elam kein malveyu. In other words, he's trusting the malve. You're not going to come and claim that I owe you the $100 that says in the shtar I owe you unless you actually lent it to me. So it was written in advance for the possibility that there'll be such a transaction. That's by halva. So the equivalent by mechira, that Reuven might want to buy a field from Shimon. So they draft the shtar and they give it to the mocher who isn't yet a mocher in anticipation that I trust you, you're not going to, or the okeach, I should say, holds it. You know, you're not going to use it against me to show that you bought it. No, if I really buy it, then they'll have the shtar. But really, it never really happened. So that's the shtar manani. So what you have here is the accusation of the ma'ara that I never sold you the land. It was a shtar amana. It was written in anticipation that there might be a sale, but I never sold it to you. This is the pshat that the Rach offers on Zayif. And the question is, why does the Rash need to do this? The Maisa, the Rashbam, is going to soon suggest real other possibilities that it could mean literally shtar Zayif. But let's see more in the Rashbam, then we'll suggest what could be possibly what the Rach is saying. But we have other ways to learn the Rach than what we'll mention today, but just to keep it simple for now. Miu ilav de odi betanase de toveya de shtar zayfahu. If the machzik, we're calling the ma'ara and the machzik. Ma'ara is the marakama. The machzik is the one on the land. Those are the words that we'll start using in Cheska Sabbatim lingo, right? So ilav de odi betanase de or toveya here. Ilav de odi betanase de toveya shtar zayfahu. Now the ma'isa, the Rashbam gives us the larger picture. If this person would not have whispered what he did and acknowledged that the Taina of the Tovea is correct, that's a Shtar Zayfa, which we now would translate as Shtar Amana, Lavko Kamine. The person could not make such an accusation. We can't just suddenly attack the Shtar and say it's a Shtar Zayfa, Shtar Amana. Shara Edim, what's the case? Edim Makirim Chasimas Yudea. The Edim recognize their signature. And therefore, because of the fact that we're talking about a case that the Edom can recognize the signatures, Mishamachi Amar Rabba Malo Lishaker, V'lomar Shtar Malya Havali V'irkas. Why do you have to lie and tell us that really he lost his shtar and he had a good shtar? Lema Ha'ai Shtar Olav Zayfo. You could just say this is a totally fine, bona fide shtar. Because it's clear that the kiyum is ready to happen. Not that it happened already, but the edim are ready to be mekayim. Now, from the seder of the Lashon of the Rashbam, that he quotes the Rach, and then he quotes the back story that the edim ready to mekayim, one would really be able to think, why did the Rach want to say the pshat of Shtar Amana, as opposed to what we're about to read, that the Rashbam is going to suggest an alternative? Because what is the Rashbam doing presenting the alternative, Shtar Shtar Zayfa? Inami, Ikulafushi, Zayfa, Shtar Zayf Mamish. Now, Shtar Zayf means it's totally forged. Meaning, so who forged the signatures? Shaziyev Chasima Sa'idim Yafeh. Now, why do you have to make it Yafeh? Because otherwise, what don't you have here? I don't have a potential Kiyam. If you don't have a potential Kiyam, you don't have a Migo. The whole Migo is that he could have stuck by the claim that there's a good shtar. Why would he win with such a claim? Because the shtar would become a kiyum. But if it's forged shtar, then how are you going to have kiyum in a forged shtar? So Rashbam needs to give you more details. Let's say that it was a real forged shtar, but he did it so well. We saw this in the sugya we saw on Daf Zayin and Beis, right? And it was based on the sugya Yad Baba Basra. Right? There's a way to sort of forge a signature that the person himself wouldn't know. These Edom are at the Mekayimet. Why? Because they say, this is us. We recognize our signature. They're about to Mekayim the Shtar. That's one version of Shtara Zaifa, that he forged the signature so well. Inami, says the Rashban, another way to work it out, that it's a Shtara Zaifa and you have a Migul. Matzi Lekaimo, the Eidim Shakarim Shechasmulo. In other words, it was the Eidim themselves are false Eidim. And then, of course, they could say, that's our signature, which it is. But the whole thing was a lie. Now, for Rishon Iker, it goes on what? You have to know. Does he mean, what's the Rishon? Rishon of the last two things he said of the two possibilities, your Zaifa, or Rishon Iker going back on the Rach? How did you learn it? It's going on the first of the two suggestions of Shtar Zaifa. You're correct, because even though you don't know for sure from here, but Lamaisa later on in the Sugya, the Maschal Shalach, he brings the Rach, but then he also says, or he comes back and suggests, Kem Pirish Rach, V'li Nir Duhu Adinu Zaifa Mamish. You'll see it later. So at the end, he's not convinced that the Rashbam is correct, that Rach is correct. So I would think that the Rishon Iker is going on one of these two things. What would be the case that he could easily get Kiyum? So more likely you'll say, not that you have Edom Shekarim, but you have a good enough Ziyuf that the Edom themselves would make that mistake. But now, the fact that the Rashbam says all this after bringing the Rach would suggest, why did the Rach learn Pshat Zdor Zayf and not Mamish? Because the Rach wants it to be a case of Amigo. And the Rach will hold that what's going to be the case of Amigo? Why could he win with Star? This is a good Star. If it's Mizuy, if it's going to be exposed. And that's most cases are that way. Elamai, you have a case that maybe did such, maybe he's afraid he'll get caught. How do you know that's not, it's a drawback in the Amigo. Because he's terrified to say this is the real star. Because what if it gets caught, that it exposed, that it's a star mana, it's not going to get caught. It really was signed. The only thing is, the transaction didn't happen. That's amigo. That's what's mashman in the Iri, for example. The Iri brings this shita of the Rach. Tarna marsha mezuyev, shulunasa me'olam, zel shekosvo, bezuyev, Yesh om shenizkayim hashtar mikol makom dona ba kedir hazeh, v'yesh chokim neshekol kayotze v'misiyorehu, shami yidaktiku beizdin b'ksidva al yidei tanaso shuzeh, through the taina beizdin will look carefully, o yachzu achar ha'edim yizbar lehem ha'inyin, v'ein kan ma'al l'shaker. Sounds like the reason why you don't want to be a star mizuyif manish is because the ma'al l'shaker doesn't hold, because it'll be exposed, he's afraid. And the Rashbam is saying, no, you can have such a case that you pretty much know that he would win with Hashtara, and therefore it can be Mizuyev Mamish. We're going to see other possibilities why the Rach said what he said. But meanwhile, we could simply say, because otherwise the Migo is not here. Now, so what happens now? Lachish lo Rabba Gassinan, this is as far as who we're talking about, not Rabba, but Rabba. The Rabba mach mekamid Rav Yosef, kidamim b'shili de brachas. But Rav Yosef chaver makshalo. So Rabba was first the Rosh Hashiva in Pumpadisa, and then came Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef would often ask him kashas. So now we get to a very difficult Rajbam. Let's Pasha try to figure out what the Rajbam is saying. This is Rav Yosef's time. Yosef doesn't accept the Migul. Why? Because his words are, Amayka samches ahay shtara, the shtar is chas v'biyam. So let's at least point out the difficulty in the Rajbam. Says the Rajbam, Amayka samches ahay shtara, da ashnei chazak aleka. We started by saying that in the beginning already. You can't rely on chazak. There's no chazak. So you have to put everything here, or you're stuck in the shtar. Shtar chazak alek. V'hai shtar achas v'bialmu. The shtar is worthless. It's garbage. It's pottery. The kevan, says the Bach, the kevan the odi. Why is it chaspa? Why is the shtar chaspa? The shtar that he's coming with. The kevan the odi odi. Once he was molded, so that stands for hadas baldin. So you have now evidence that the shtar is nothing. So what happened to Ma'al Shaker? He could have stuck with it. So the Rashbam has to try to explain more. The Rashbam Migderach Kal is Mayrech, but here, even with all the Arichas, we still don't know what the Rashbam is really saying. The Rashbam is different than his grandfather. Rashi was always very succinct. The Rashbam is quite, as you well know from Bekiyas, right? The Rashbam in Baba Basra, right, where the pages are, the many Dapim in Baba Basra. It's not the Gemara itself. I think the Gemara in Brachis is actually more Gemara than Baba Basra. What makes Baba Basra that many dapim is because of the Rashbam. So this Rashbam is trying to be masked with something, but we'll see. We're trying to understand what he's saying. Velo dami, what's the question? Why is it different than Migo? Every Migo. Velo dami, lemalo l'shakesh abigemara, Oh, well, I think, for example, what? We had the sugya not long ago of Paraiti B'Tok Zmani. He could have said Paraiti Racha Zmani. It's after the Zmana. Malo L'Shaker. So he says, I pay Tok Zman, Mikob Mokom Chazaka, fine. Lo Dam Malo L'Shaker Shebe Gemara says, Shtei Tainos Yecholos Lios Emes. Both claims could potentially be true. Osa Shehu Toein, that taina that he's taining, but Osa Shehu Yacholito, the Lotan. And the potential taina that he could have said and didn't. Damina Migo, that's called Migo. Migo that he could have used the other taina, so he went with this taina. What's here? Avol Hacha. Dami Lema L'Shaker B'Mokom Eidim. We had this term already in Taftos, Tosus Dab Beis Amid Aleph, if you remember in the Tosus Lefichach. Earlier Gemara in Cheskes Sabbat that no shaker mokum Eidim, that it's against Eidim. Why? Shere kol kochel becheskaso bekarkazu, the entire strength and leverage that he has in his karka is alidei hashtar. If through the shtar, that's what gives him leverage in this land, because he has a shtar that's giving him. Without the shtar, he has nothing to stand on. He has no chazaka. So what's giving him the whole basis to have any basis to be able to hold it to the karka is the value he has hashtar. V'heich nomar mali l'shaker b'shtar zeh. How can we say a mali l'shaker with this shtar? Iboyom hashtar maliyahu. That he could have said the shtar is fine. But v'halo modesh hashtar pasul. He's told us it's pasul. It's zayfa. V'aldoas baldin kemei ha'edim. So it's against the great evidence of Hodas Baldin. The Ilu Bo Shnei Edim Sham of Shul Pasul, Leka Suma L'Shaker. If Edim will come and say the Shtar is Pasul, would you have a Migul? No. So if he's Moda Shtar is Pasul, there's no Migul. That's Rav Yosef's argument. Ma L'Shaker B'Mokom Edim. Does it sit well with you? What's troubling you? Go. What?
It doesn't fit with your answer.
Doesn't fit with?
With the answer, two answers you got.
Why? The point is, he's acknowledging that it's Zaifa, whatever Zaifa means. If it's any one of those things, then obviously he wouldn't win. It's not good. So now he says he has no Migul. Because by every, what are his words? Every Migul, both times could be Emes. But here, we have the taina that he's of hashtara, that for sure is not emes. What's difficult? So it's mal shakim b'malkum eidim. Let's formulate the question. Yeah.
He says at the beginning that what only matters is the fact that both the tainas can't be true. So when both the tainas can't be true, why does it matter if it's through other eidim or whether it's through him? He brings the whole point that it's like kimei eidim. Why does that point, I guess, matter once he says, as long as one of the times can't be true, no matter how it gets to not be true, whether it's through two Adam or whether it's through him.
Okay, so what's the Hodas Baldin here? Well, with that Hodas Baldin, we don't know that it's not true. How do we know? Do we know it's not true? The other time, he said, let's say he said, I paid you Tochas Man, he could have said he paid now. Do we know for sure that he didn't pay now? Let's say we see Migu Makam Chazaka. We're familiar with that Gemara. Mal Shaker B'Makam Chazaka. So let's say we see Makam Chazaka. So he says, I paid you Tochazman. He could have said, I paid you now. Do we have Edim that say he didn't pay now? Lachazman? Do we? Well, that's what's going to. Do we or don't we? Gidda?
Yeah, I think what's difficult is that here too, each individual claim is viable.
The Migu, the Migu says that he didn't have to be Mogdim. That's what you're asking. He didn't have to be Mogdim. The Migu itself says that he did, that he could have said it, stuck with his Taina Hashtar. So what's the, what do you mean Migu Mokom Eidim? What's the Migu Mokom Eidim? Because he's Mogdim? But he didn't have to be Mogdim. So you say, yeah, but he's Mogdim already. It's too late. He's Mogdim. Is that what Migu Mokom Eidim always means? What does typically Mokom Eidim mean? We have Gemara earlier in Chesed Bat in the situation. If a person makes a claim, Shalavosai, Velo Shalavosecha. and then Edom come and say it belonged to the other person. Right? That's called Nigo B'Makom Edom. Okay, now Amid Aleph. Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, I mean. Yeah, on the top. Two people arguing a piece of land. Each one says Shilavosai. One person brings Edom that it was his father's. One person brought Edom and he had a chazaka. So Daf gets glad it happens to be Rabbi. Rabbi is Malu Shaker. He could have said, I bought it from you and I have a chazaka. He had a chazaka. Abai says, Malu Shaker Mokam Edom Lo Amrina. That's case of Malu Shaker Mokam Edom. What time is Mokam Edom? What does he say? Shalavosai. What did the Edom say? Belonged to the other guy's father. He had a chazaka. But his taina, he could have said, I bought it from you. Instead he said, Shalavosai. The taina that's against the Edom is the taina you want to win with. What taina do you want to win with over here? The taina that I had another shtar on the sale. Edom against that? Elamai, where the Edom against? Which taina? Taina that you could have won with. So that's called Edom? Anytime I say taina X and I don't taina Y. So by virtue of the fact that I taina X, what am I more or less conceding? That it's not the other thing, it's this. Right? If I say, I paid you tochazman, I could have said I paid you lachazman. So if I tell you I paid tochazman, it's not more or less saying I didn't pay you now, you don't pay twice. So elmai, but I have amigo, I could have said I paid you now. So there are a couple of things that have to be sorted out in this Rashbam. First, the equation to Mikom Makom Edom doesn't seem to exactly parallel what we usually use the term to refer to. Mikom Makom Edom usually refers to the taina that you want to win with. And Bechlau, what makes a Mikom Makom Edom? After what differentiates this from every situation where I opt to taina one thing and not the other? So by virtue of a taina that I did taina, I'm more or less conceding that it wasn't the other thing. So why is that Mikom Makom Edom? Elamai, I could have said the other thing. So here too, I could have stuck with the other taina. Bahashtar. The fact that I admitted it's not shtar, but now I have the taina of, I had a real shtar. So this Lashon the Rashbam has to be worked. That's it. There really are going to be two, we have to leave this for tomorrow. We have two Mahalchim that we'll try to present in the Rashbam. One is going to come out of the Ritva. The Ritva doesn't say Bedasa Rashbam, but the Pshat I will give you to the Ritva, if you probably looked at it already. But if Nemuka Yosef says Alderach the Ritva, but he says it in the Rashbam. So I think that would be one way to read the Rashbam. The other way is what the Rosh seems to learn in the Rashbam. These are two different ways to learn Bedasa Rashbam. See which one you think fits better in the words of the Rashbam. I'm going to try sending the Piskei Arid, who asked Kashas and Ramban. I'll just say one thing just to end with this. The Ramban, who we've shown him, you know, starts the Sugya. The very introductory words of the Sugya, and the Ramban says, on the Rashban, he says, Pirish HaRav of Shmo bePirushav. This is Amayka Samchis. The Eini Maven Dvarav. Three words, says Rabban. The Eini Maven Dvarav. The Ramban. On the Rashbam. Eini Maven Dvarav. It's all the Arichas that we read. Eini Maven Dvarav. Okay, so we have to see Mr. Shem get ourselves into the Sugya.